I don't always do Father's Day messages and Mother's Day messages, so don't count on that every year. But this year I'm going to do a Father's Day message. And today's theme is directed toward fathers, but the principles in the scripture that I'll read and show you are applicable to everyone. So don't tune out if you're not a dad. You might be a grandparent, an uncle, anybody that has kids in our life. We have children here at the church, teenagers here at the church, and we can still model and pour our lives into. So it applies to all of us. And kids and teenagers, don't tune me out, because someday, even though you don't think you will, someday you might have a child of your own, and these principles can be applied then. Before we start, I want to recognize something, and I really appreciate what Ann Loganbill said, not Ann Winger, Ann Loganbill. I really appreciate what she said. I recognize, and I don't know if the situation's here, but I recognize that Father's Day can be a difficult time, or Mother's Day, for some people. I know people in my life that this is just not a fun day for them. And so you may have had a father that wasn't there. You never met him. He bailed on you. He treated you poorly, and the treatment might have been something very, very serious. I care about that, and I recognize that. But more importantly than me caring about it is that God cares about it, and he sees your pain and the things that you missed out on, if that's your situation. So know that if your dad wasn't what he should have been, God is all of those things, and he can heal those wounds in you. The sermon today is called The DNA of a Father. You can be a literal one-time DNA donor and check out. I mean, the squirrels outside can do that. Or you can have the DNA of a godly father in you and pass that along continually in a lifetime of blessings. Guys like things to the point. I like things to the point. We like bullet points and we like summaries. And so today, my Father's Day present to you men is a relatively short sermon with bullet points and summaries. We're going to get right to it. There are a lot of great fathers at Bethel. I've been here not quite a year, and I've seen some really, really wonderful fathers here doing what they're supposed to be doing. Remember that fathers are leaders. We are leaders, guys, in our family. And leaders always look. You may be doing a great job, and I would commend you, but leaders are always looking for ways that they can be better leaders. That's true of any leadership. The children and teenagers of your life, in your life, are always watching. Dads and grandpas, men, are always watching. You may not realize when they're watching, but they're always, always watching. Always. Author Clarence Kellen, I'm going to put it up here on the screen, he wrote, "My father didn't have to tell me how to live. He lived and watched me do it," or let me watch him do it. Great quote. And depending on how you live, dads and grandpas and men, that can turn out good and it can turn out bad depending on how you're living your life. I have an illustration from the movie Jaws. It's my top three movies of all time, maybe top two, I don't know. Don't worry, there is no sharks that are going to appear on the screen. It's not scary or anything. Yesterday was the 45th anniversary of the movie Jaws. Why do I know that? Because I'm obsessed with the movie. Ask my wife. There will be a July 4th showing if you'd like to join that. But I need to move on because I could do 20 minutes on Jaws. Okay, no sharks involved in this. This is an illustration of how our children are always watching us, guys. Let's see.
Give us a kiss.
Why?
Because I need it.
Gentlemen, we have far more influence on our children than we realize. I know you know that as a fact, but our influence is deeper than you ever imagine. And I'm talking about a lifelong impact. A lot of times guys like to think about their legacy. What legacy am I going to leave? If you want to leave a legacy, leave it through your children. That's one of the most lifelong, one of the greatest legacy, the greatest legacy you can live when this life is over, in this world anyway. If you want your kids to know and follow Jesus, the best way to ensure that is to model Jesus for them at home. And it's easy to model Jesus when we're at church. We're all dressed nice and we're talking nice to each other. But what do they see at home? I was a youth pastor for 16 years, and that was the best predictor of if a child's going to come to Christ and if they're going to follow Christ the rest of their life. The biggest predictor wasn't the greatest youth ministry or the greatest church or they went to all the camps. And all those things are good, and we want to have those. Those are supplements as to what is going on at home. That was the best predictor as the family, what was happening there. The book of Psalms, Psalm 112, if you'd like to turn there. As you're looking for it, I'm reading from the NIV 84. Now, this gets a little bit of confusing if you have... we won't have those. That'll be later, Matt. We'll go back to that. We're using a new program. Is there a... There we go. Okay. The NIV 84 is different. If you've bought an NIV in the last 9 years, you've got the NIV 2011, but it's going to read different, so don't be confused. I picked the NIV 84 for a reason. It says man, it means everybody, but it says man, and that applies to us and our purposes today. So it kind of focuses or emphasizes that it's for men, but really, when it says man, it means everybody. All right, Psalm 112. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands. His children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for the gracious and compassionate and righteous man. Good will come to him who is generous and lends freely, who conducts his affairs with justice. Surely he will not be shaken. A righteous man will be remembered forever. He will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is secure. He will have no fear. In the end, he will look on in triumph over his foes. He has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be lifted high in honor. Wicked man will see and be vexed. He will gnash his teeth and waste away. The longings of the wicked will come to nothing. So the psalmist gives us 9 verses of positive things. When a person follows God's commands and is under God's authority, and then he spends one verse saying, if you don't do that, you're going to waste away. You're going to amount to nothing. The key verse for us to focus on this morning is verse 2. We'll bring this up on the screen. Verse 2 says, his children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. The NLT says, his children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. I like both of those versions, and they kind of bring out a little something in each. I'd like that to frame our thoughts today, because that's the goal. Men, that should be our goal right there. When we're thinking about our children, we're raising children, or helping with raising children, if you're a grandfather or an uncle or something else, we want to bless our children. We want blessed children coming out of our families. That's the goal. It shouldn't be, well, more sports, and they're really good at sports. That's fine, but it's not the main goal. Finances, they make more money than you. That's not the goal. Status, prestige, anything else the world likes to peddle to us. The NLT says it will produce a generation of godly people, and that's going to outlive you. The first 2 verses in Psalm 112, I just read them, the word blessed is used twice. We want our children to be blessed. I believe that. I think that you want your kids to be blessed. But we remember that that blessing is God's definition, not the world's definition of blessing. So now we have the goal. There it is above me, or you're looking in your own Bible. How do we get there, guys? Now, if you like sports or you like sports analogies, maybe you like to watch sports and you watch the 3-hour game, or maybe you didn't have time to watch the 3-hour game, so you watched in the evening or the next day the highlight reel. We watched the highlight reel, the 2 or 3 minute summary of how they got to their goal. So this morning, here comes the highlight reel, all right? It's not the entire plan. I'm not saying it's a substitute for the entire plan, but here are the highlights of it. We've got two verses. We're going to go back to verse 1. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands. I see two action points in that verse. The first one is to fear the Lord. Men, is that in your DNA? Let's bring that up, Matt. Fear the Lord. Let's emphasize that one. Fear the Lord. Is that part of your DNA? Are you passing that along? Fearing the Lord, you prioritize God in your life and you recognize him for who he is. You know he is the one who holds the keys of life and death. You know that and you live your life that way. He is truly Lord of your life. It's not just something we say once in a while, maybe on Sundays and other times. It's something you live out every day in your family. You teach that to your kids. You teach the fear of the Lord to your kids, absolutely. But far more importantly, you live that out and they see you living that out. The second action point in verse 1. Take delight in God's commandments. Just a minute. Take delight in God's commandments. Is that in your DNA, men? Is that something that you're passing along continually? You get to the point when you're following Jesus, and I hope you know him. If not, let's talk. But if you know Jesus, you get to the point in that walk with him that you are happy to know his commandments. You are happy to follow those commandments. You take delight. You're happy to come under the Lord's authority. Even the tough stuff, when God wants us to do something or not do something and our sin nature is pulling us the opposite way, you still find delight in working through that. Let's look at some simple math from the first verse. Here's a simple math. I hope this is making up your DNA. I like easy math. I can do this in my head. Fear the Lord plus take delight in his commandments equals blessed. You're going to be blessed. You will receive blessings. But again, it's God's definition of blessings, not the world. Your wife will be blessed. Your kids will be blessed. Your church will be blessed. The people you work with, the people that work for you. Because blessings always breeds more blessings. Blessings breed blessings in other people. Second part of the highlight reel is jumping down to verse 7. Here's verse 7. He will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Three action points there. God gives us three things to focus on in that verse. And I'm going to break those down on three different screens here. You can watch this. Do not fear bad news. Do not fear bad news. Your children and your wife, guys, they need to see you strong. They need to see you strong. Is that part of your DNA? Are you strong in your family? There's plenty of bad news going on. There's been a lot of bad news in the last 3-4 months. And when this stuff falls off the headlines or whatever bad news there was this morning on the headlines, there'll be something else to take it place. There'll be some more bad news in November, and there'll be some more bad news next June, and so on. It's just the nature of news. That's what sells, you know, and bad news. So it's always going to be bad news that we have to deal with. How you react to bad news, whether it's personal bad news or just news in the world, that is vital. Your reaction is vital of being a father. It doesn't mean the news won't distress you or bother you or upset you. But what do your children see when bad news comes your way? What reaction do they see? Do they see fear? Now, fear is not always cowering in the corner. Oh, the news is so terrible and I have so much anxiety and I don't know what to do. And, you know, it doesn't always look like that. Sometimes maybe, probably not in your life. But sometimes fear can be an emphasis on the bad news. I focus on the bad news. And that's all you talk about. That's all you think about. It can be listening more to the world than to God about the bad news. That's a type of fear, looking for answers at other people. They're going to come up short every time. God never comes up short, ever. The second action point in that verse, verse 7, keep your heart steadfast. Keep your heart steadfast. Is steadfastness in your DNA, guys? Is that something you live out? That's something you're passing on in your daily DNA. You are, or should be, you are strength for your wife and kids. They need you to be strong. They need to see that you don't get off track from God when things come your way that are difficult. Consistency is strength. That's steadfastness. Of course you're going to make mistakes. We're not going to pretend that any of us are perfect fathers or ever will be. But consistency, part of being steadfast, rather, is to turn to God and owning up to the mistakes and not making excuses. Well, this happened and that happened. A leader, a father, should own up to his shortcomings every time. Your kids, or the kids in your life, the kids in this church, they need to see steadfast faith in us, even when we ourselves come up short. God's still growing me in this area. I don't know about you, but I look at this, and probably everyone, as a lifelong pursuit, learning steadfastness and being better at that, letting the Holy Spirit work in me. Be open to the work of God in your life and become more steadfast. And know that the children and your wife too needs to see this steadfastness in you. Third action point in this verse: trust the Lord. It's different from fear the Lord. It's trust the Lord. Is total trust in Jesus Christ part of your DNA? And I don't just mean for your salvation. That's part of it. But daily, total reliance, trust in Jesus, is that part of your daily DNA that you're passing along to everyone? Do you trust God truly? We don't say it just in church. It's an easy thing to say in church. Answer in Sunday school, all of that. Do you truly trust God no matter what? It's really easy to trust when things are good. Very easy. Right now in my life, things are going pretty well. I don't have any big situations going on. Life isn't perfect, but what life is perfect? But I don't have any big, super huge worries or anything like that. So it's really easy for me to say, oh yeah, I trust God. Sure, we trust God when things are going well. Business is fine. Health is fine. Finances are fine. Things are doing okay. When life is generally going well, it's easy to trust God. But when things are not going so well, when those things I mentioned and others, they go south on you, it's not as easy to trust God. It's easy to say, but it's not as easy to do. Trusting the Lord in hard times. Listen, guys, when we trust the Lord, we demonstrate a trust in God during our hard times. That is when you're teaching your kids something right there. Because it's easy when it's easy. It's not so easy when it's hard. You're teaching your children when you go through those times. So do you really, truly trust the Lord, period, no extras? Always, regardless of the circumstances. And do your children see that? I don't mean to disrespect or dishonor my parents, so I'm not going to give you details because my mother's still alive, but I'll put it this way. My dad lived out none of those five things that I've shared with you this morning, and they're on your insert in the bulletin. None of them. He didn't live those things out. I paid a price for it. I'm not one of these people that blames everything on my parents and, you know, I don't have any responsibility. I take responsibility for my own decisions, actions, and all of that. But as a kid, I paid a price for it. My sisters paid a price for it. My mother paid a price for it. My dad didn't physically hurt us. I would not say he was emotionally abusive, but speaking generally, he was a very absent person, wasn't involved in our lives, was a workaholic. We wanted him. We didn't want more stuff. We wanted him. But speaking generally again, he did not practice those five things that I outlined from the two verses. Now, it's really important for you to know that I forgave my dad. My sisters forgave my dad. My mother's forgiven my dad. God healed us in the family. We weren't, like, you know, all splintered over all these things. We were reconciled at his death. He died 6 years ago. But, you know, scars are there. You know, there's things that you have to deal with all your life. Just because God has healed up the wounds doesn't mean you don't remember them and the scars are there. And if you are in a situation, I'm going off a little rabbit trail here, but not much. If you're in a situation where you need to forgive your dad, you need to forgive your dad. Not because he deserves it, but because God commands it. That's another sermon for another time. Actually, I preached that back in March. You may remember Heidi Garber came up and, and gave a testimony. That's a sermon about forgiveness if you want to listen to that sometime. Men, there are many, many great things you can do for your children and your grandchildren and whatever kids you have in your life. The first and most important thing to follow is this, or to remember is this. Follow Jesus with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Because if you don't, your kids will pay a price for it. I know this from experience. To love the Lord your God with all you have. You know, Jesus said that. Some people ask him, or someone ask him, Jesus, you know, there's a lot of commandments. We have to remember a lot of things. There's things the Bible says we should, follow. You know, if you could pick one, what's the most important commandment, Jesus? And he said, most important commandment, that's easy. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And I showed you five ways to do that this morning. They're not the only ways to do it. But I've showed you five ways and a couple of scriptures today. Let's bring up, we had the highlight reel. Here's the summary of the highlight reel. Fear the Lord, take delight in his commandments. Do not fear bad news, keep your heart steadfast. Trust the Lord. Now please, men, don't do what we're prone to do in life, because we do this. Ladies, I don't know if you get this about men, but we tend to look at something like that as a to-do list. I got to do these things. I got to be better at number one. I got to be better at number four. I know I'm not doing so good at number three, and I'm going to make a to-do list, and I'm going to really just bear down this week, and I'm going to try and do better, and I'm going to do better. And when you do that, without the help of God, it's a great thing that you want to get better. But if you do it on your own, you are setting yourself up for failure. And we don't want to do that. But when you bring the Holy Spirit into it and you say, you know, Lord, number four, I haven't been very steadfast. But show me what that means to be more steadfast. Will you work that in me? When you bring the Holy Spirit in to the situation, you're setting yourself up for blessings. And remember what blessings do. Blessings breed more blessings. And according to Scripture, back in verse 2, it will rise up an entire generation of blessed people. I mean, don't be just a one-time DNA donor. Anybody could do that. You know, leaving the kids to your wife while you do the thing and build your stuff and blah, blah, and work and so on and so on and so on. They need both of you. They need you involved. They need you involved in the things that they're doing and showing up to their sports things and music things and all the things that we try to keep our eyes open, but we do it anyway. Ask God to help you make those five things and more part of your daily DNA. I'm going to pass this on. I'm going to pass this on. This is going to be my legacy. These are the things I want my kids to know and do and be. Again, I see a lot of great dads as I look out this morning, and I'm so glad we're back together in one service. I'm thankful for you. We remember that fathers are leaders, and leaders always look for ways to be better leaders. But they don't get down about it when we see a shortcoming in our lives. And I see these often. We see a shortcoming. A leader says, okay, I have an opportunity to improve, to be a better leader. And so these opportunities that come our way in the form of shortcomings that are shown to us, those opportunities don't bring a good leader down. They make him a better leader. And that's what we're after here. So dads, this Father's Day, you have it on an insert in your bulletin. If you want an extra one, you can use your wife's, or there's a few out in the, maybe a dozen more out on the table, out in the hall. Fear the Lord. Take delight in his commandments. Do not fear bad news. Keep your heart steadfast. Trust the Lord. You can put this up at work, and put it in your Bible, put it up at your house, maybe get two or three of them. The DNA of a father is rooted in a relationship with Jesus, and it has wonderful results. The results, we saw it in the Word of God back in verse 2, your children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. So today, make it really easy. Read Psalm 112 before you go to sleep. It'll take you 1, maybe 2 minute stops. It's very short. Take your insert home. Put it somewhere. Let it remind you. Let it be a prayer guide. It's something you could pray through. So men, let's be the fathers. Let's strive to be the fathers that our children need and the fathers that God has called us to be. I'll pray for all of us. Let's pray. God, I thank you for every father here and the awesome position that you've put him in and entrusted each man with their with his children along with his wife. I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't look at this as a to-do list. We would look at it as an opportunity to grow closer to you and to bless others. I pray for all the children in our lives, even if they aren't our children. I pray for the children and teens at Bethel Church, Lord. May this always be a safe place for them. May it be a place of blessing. And may all of us as men treat our children and teenagers as you would have us. I'm thankful for the wives here, Lord. I thank you that we get to be, in each case, their husband. I pray that you call us to be the husbands you've called us to be. Help us to be that. And Lord, again, for those that find Father's Day a difficult day, I pray that you would speak to their hearts, speak to their minds, bring healing to the situation. In Jesus' name, amen.